views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, Cincinnati's only gun talk show. Join us. We're going to explore the topic of firearms and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Now here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRZ, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Visit them online at kylesgunshop.com. I'm your host, trying to keep it together, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me this evening, Mr. Andy Ulrich. Andy, how's it going?
Very good.
Do you like watching me have my little breakdown before the show starts?
I'm going to pull it together.
Oh, I heard something that at least seemed funny to me, and it just go into those fits of giggles. So anyway, we've got a just fun-filled show this evening. We're going to have Chris Costa and Sean Nelson coming on the phone in just a little bit, talking about their new film, short action film, Easy Day. Really, really interesting. It's about 3.5 minutes long. I found it to be rather entertaining. It's gotten some controversy online for multiple reasons that we will get into, but we will go there in just a minute. Something else to talk about. I'm sorry, I've got Eric, the producer, asking me questions as as I'm like trying to intro the show, and it's like, ooh, two directions at once, hard to do.
Multitask.
Yeah, not so much after 20,000 rounds. Which, speaking of, the Salient Mark 25 Tier 1 prototype has reached 20,000 rounds as of today. So far, so good. Has still only had the one malfunction that was caused by that Wolf recoil spring, which apparently is a known issue. I started doing more research into that, and there's a fix for that. But so I actually feel bad I didn't tell Salient about it and just beforehand, since that was part of the reason that they had me doing the project with them, was my experience with SIG. So what else has going on? It's the last show of the year. New Year's coming up, so we've had a busy year. The show has really taken off. I appreciate every one of you for listening and making the show what it is. I did not expect it to do as well as it has, and I am sincerely thankful for the opportunity. So we've got some exciting new things coming up, and this is actually going to be the first official announcement of this. Starting next Sunday, airing at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, you will be able to listen to Ballistic Radio in Phoenix, Arizona on WKFNX. Like I said, that will be next week, starting 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, so 2 hours behind us. But very excited to be moving into the Phoenix area, and I'm just going to be really happy to welcome all the new listeners there. What else have we got going on? Next year, we will be doing another endurance test on a pistol. I'm not quite sure which one yet because I'm still working out the details, but hoping to do at least 50,000 rounds, possibly 100,000 rounds. Not in a month, though. I've only got one of these in me, and will be throughout the course of the year, probably starting in March, if I had to guess, possibly sooner. But I'm excited about that. Also going to start doing product reviews on the webpage. I've been given a couple of cool things that I will be putting write-ups for as soon as I'm done with the Salient project, when I actually have time to write stuff again. And I know that my one editor has been upset at me because I've been missing deadlines a little bit on articles. And Shelly, I'm sorry. Speaking of, congratulations to Shelly and Caleb for their wedding on Saturday. Really excited to hear about that. Shelly being my editor at Gun Up Magazine, Caleb being the guy to talk to if you want to talk to me sometimes. So other than that, what else? Went to Atlanta last Saturday, talked about that already. Did have something interesting happen with the Salient project today. I actually managed to kill a Surefire X400, at least half kill it. Yeah. The light still works, the laser does not. I was actually really surprised by that because it's the first Surefire product I've ever broken. Not quite exactly sure what happened yet. I was actually on the phone with Surefire after I got done shooting today, and they were very, very cool to deal with. And I've got an RMA number that will be given to me, and they're going to get that back, pull it apart, see what happened there. Still leaving it on the gun because, like I said, the light still works, and I really like how the gun shoots and feels with the unit on there. Just really kind of changes the handling just a little bit, but it sure makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So, and the Darkstar gear holster that I'm using has been really easy to conceal the salient with the light on there. He's making an inside the waistband version of that. I've been carrying appendix outside the waistband, which is new for me, but working a lot better than I thought. Tom makes really good stuff. So other than that, we've got about, I want to say, 4,300 rounds left before we hit 25,000. The gun will be going back to Salient so they can do their little thing to it and will probably be available to view at SHOT Show somewhere or other. I will be attending SHOT Show this year as well, so that will be something cool for the listeners as far as I will be bringing back plenty of photos, video, and opinions, because I know all of you care so, so much about what I have to say. No, not really. So other than that, like I said, we've got Chris and Sean both holding on the line right now. I would try and get them on, but we're going to be going to break soon, and by the time we got done with the introductions, it'd be time for the commercial, and that seems a little silly. Oh, for those of you that have not seen Easy Day, their new video, there's one specific part in there that we're going to be discussing later, the pelvic girdle shot. And for those of you that are having a hard time imagining that, somebody got shot in the goodies, and it looked really painful. I was asked about that in Atlanta this last weekend, and I recorded a little video response. If you would like to view that, the link is up on the Facebook page. I've been told I'm rather funny and foul-mouthed. Apparently, when I don't have the FCC to deal with, my...
Keep the children out of the room.
Yeah, really. I apologize, folks. I'm very, very unrefined, and when I don't have, like, a fine looming over my head, you know, I might say one or two things that are not fit for children's ears. So we'll be discussing that with Chris and Sean also this evening. See what they think about the hue and cry over that. I don't get what the big deal is. It seems like,
is there any good place to be shot or appropriate place to shoot somebody?
Well, it depends how much you like them. I guess if you really don't like them, I suppose the genitals is a extra special bad place to shoot somebody. I don't know. So, Eric, you might want to be watching me too in case I say like wiener on accident or something like that. And that's no, that one's okay. Okay. Eric's shaking his head. Yes, wiener's all right. Other words, not so much. So,
if you shoot somebody in the kneecaps, that's bad, right?
That's bad. It's, I guess it's just not as visceral as. No. Is the Franks and beans getting blown off. So anyway, that was probably right there on the line. This is a good place to go to commercial. When we get back, we'll be talking with Chris Costa and Sean Nelson about Easy Day. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. So, we've got Mr. Chris Costa, the beard himself, holding on the line, and also Sean Nelson. They were both involved with the new Easy Day video that is on the internet. Get Chris on the line first, and I'll try and get Sean on. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing, John?
Not too bad, man. I'm going to try and get Sean on here, make sure I don't hang up on both of you, then we'll get going with the show. Sean, are you there?
Hey, John. Yeah, right here.
Hey, excellent. I managed to get two people on the line without hanging up on them. Are you proud of me, Andy?
I am proud.
I have come a long way. So, gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad.
Doing real well.
So, we've got Chris Costa, who is the driving force behind Costa Ludus. Did some work with Magpul before that. I'm sure you all know who Mr. Costa is. We've also got Sean Nelson, who directed the Easy Day video that Chris just starred in. Start out with Chris, and then we'll go to Sean. It's kind of difficult since we're doing an interview where both the individuals that we're interviewing are not in studio. There may be a bit of a delay between questions and answers, and I apologize, guys, but we're going to do the best we can. So, Chris, do you mind telling us about Costa Media Group and what that is? That's something new that you just started, right?
That's correct. Earlier this year, when we met up with Isaac Marciana and Sean Nelson, we were talking about maybe doing something in the industry that had kind of been done a little bit to a certain degree, but I don't think to the full capability of what we demonstrated with Easy Day. And to preference this, by no means is Easy Day the end-all, be-all, but I think it's a I think it's a good start for the weapons community in regards to getting big manufacturers and people that are serious about product placement, gun sales, different things, and putting it in action. If you think about Transformers, it's a commercial
right.
with a movie
mm-hmm.
plot. It really is. I mean, when you watch the chip hit the Mountain Dew machine comes alive. That's a plug for Mountain Dew.
Right.
When you watch the chip hit the side of, you know, the Cadillac Escalade, the Cadillac symbol comes out into the woman's face and attacks her. And what we wanted to do was kind of step up the expectation within the industry and do a full-on little kind of mini movie. And I think therein lies a lot of the controversy that you're seeing online right now with the tug of war between people who get it and people who don't get it or are upset about it or I don't even know how you can really be upset about it. We had 3 minutes to
yeah.
try to put enough information within a movie, little mini movie, for you to get it, yet still be entertaining, yet still spotlight products,
right?
So had we had more time, we would have been able to fully kind of convey every little thing of what specifically we're doing. So in a 3-minute piece, which is about the average time frame for anybody, including myself, if I get online and I see that my buddy has sent me a video and it's 10 or 15 minutes long, it's pretty much like, unless this thing keeps coming up within my friend network, I'm deleting it.
Right.
Like, I don't have time for 15 minutes. But during my work day, I've got kind of time to look over my shoulder and maybe play 3 minutes. And then, of course, the question is it 3 minutes at a really poor quality? Or is it like 3 minutes of, wow, that was a really good video? And that's what we were hoping to accomplish. And then draw people in by then doing the behind the scenes, which I actually think is more interesting than the actual video to
yeah.
be. I mean, the fact that I was there, you know, and the fact that we did this mini movie, we all really enjoy the behind the scenes probably more than we do the actual mini movie because there's so much going on and you get to see everybody that's been involved in it.
Right. Right. And it was kind of curious because I've been talking to some buddies as far as online and also in person too, that it seemed like a 50-50 split where they're either upset that it's like, well, that's, you know, that's just a big commercial. And I was like, yeah, it's awesome. It's the best commercial I've ever seen in my life. Or, you know, there's the other dudes that are just like, you know, feel the same way I do. Oh, that's great, you know, and get it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I was curious because like you said, this is a little bit different than what you'd done before because you've done training DVDs before. I mean, was the thought process when you got into this a little bit different, it being a new project, or was it, I mean, I know
well,
it's new it, for you, but.
Well, it's challenging in the way I just described it, where Sean and I and Isaac have to sit down, storyboard this out, and of course, what I envision and what comes out are two different things. So sometimes we have to be really careful, and the challenge is keeping it no longer than 5 minutes. And in fact, the time they said was, hey, about 3.5 minutes is what we need to keep this. I'm like, well, how do you tell a story in 3.5 minutes? And therein lies the art of what they pulled off.
Right.
You know what I mean? As we went back and forth. How do you tell enough to the viewer that they have a generalization of what's going on, and understanding of what's going on and taking place, along with a creative way in which to do a marketing video. The problem that you run into is that, well, there's different cuts, so there's different angles of things happening. You know, we get out of a minivan, and technically I have enough time to kind of yell gun and duck. I didn't have enough time to shoot. because also if I had shot the bad guy at that moment in time, it would have pretty much been over right there.
Right.
If I wait for backup, the video's kind of over.
Right.
And then I guess I'm sitting on the back of a tailgate talking about Knight's armament and all the other products that, well, we would have put in the video, but we didn't really have time for because we ended it at the 32-second mark.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of give and take within this. You know, the character doesn't do everything okay.
Yeah.
They make mistakes. It wasn't supposed to be perfectly pulled off to where there was no mistakes made. The character does a one-man entry into a warehouse. Now, you're supposed to believe as if the character was running down the street the entire time where he's never broken contact with the criminal element. And then, of course, the criminal element goes into the warehouse and he's like, do I go in? Do I not? You know what I mean? Ask the average cop what he does on a regular basis. He has to go into harm's way numerous times.
Right.
You know, equate it to a police officer who goes into an active shooter in a school. First has no clue where the bad guy is, but yet he does a one-man entry because you know what? If his kids were in that school, that's what he would do. He would go in, make entry, try to not be the hero, but try to go for the immediate threat wherever that is, wherever the gunfire is erupting from.
Right.
Cops do this on a regular basis, and I think people don't really get it. So, yes, the character does a one-man entry into a warehouse where you would normally want a full SWAT team.
Right.
You don't have time for that. You know what I mean? It's like you're trying to constantly balance. And I was watching somebody's comment was, oh, well, the guy with the AK would have ripped him up going through the door. Well, if you had watched the behind the scenes, you'd notice I didn't go through the same doorway as the other criminal, which kind of caught them off guard.
Yeah.
So we're doing very, very subtle things to make it a little bit more believable
right. To
a certain extent to at least allow the continuation of things to play out. Yes, I shoot the bad guy. Therein lies the humor.
Right.
Like the feds really wanted him. Well, of course, think about that word that I just said, the feds.
Right.
Like, how many people really love the feds right now? You know what I mean? So it was kind of like a comic on the fact that, great, the feds want this guy alive, and of course, now he's dead. So, but in reality, to a certain degree, you know, with what goes on right now with the federal government, there's kind of humor in the fact that, well, they didn't get their man because, unfortunately, he was trying to kill us, so we killed him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, There's so many little undertones that I think people I don't understand. The video is there for people to have a little bit of fun with in a modern way. But I think people have really like you say, they either see it for what it is, have gone completely like, oh my God, it's the most amazing thing ever, in which case it's not, nor did we claim it to be.
Yeah.
Or just like, this is completely unrealistic, and I'm like, I had 3 minutes to captivate your attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're writing a negative comment about it, it obviously captivated your attention, but in a negative manner, but nevertheless got your attention.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't.
Well, I mean, hey, man, you know, you can't do anything, right? I am going to get to Sean here real quick before we go to break. Now, Sean, if you don't mind, how did you get involved in the project? And if you could go over your background real quick, we got about a minute and a half before the commercial.
Yeah, no problem. I'll talk fast. my friend Isaac Marciano has known Chris for years. And then earlier this year, I had shot the Cry Precisions video, Into the Breach. And actually, thankfully, Chris had already seen it. And then so Isaac was like, hey, my buddy Sean shot that. And kind of my other angle, though, I'm something of a unique breed of filmmaker in that I've been studying film for years, but I'm also hardcore pro Second Amendment. You know, my dad was a Marine. So I come from a background and from a thought process that, you know, is very much like you guys, but in Hollywood and among people studying film is a very kind of rare perspective. So this year, you know, doing the Cry and now working with Chris has just been fantastic for me to take, you know, all these feelings that are really near and dear to my heart and start trying to make some really kick butt entertainment out of it.
Yeah. So if just real quick, we got about 30 seconds left. What was your biggest concern when you started working on the project?
Trying to pack it into the time, like Chris said about the, you know, kind of 3 minutes. I mean, I had complete faith in Chris's ability to do what he does. I had faith in me and my team's ability to deliver. But it's just, how do we, you know, make it make sense and have fun and be entertaining in as short a time span as possible?
Yeah, and that totally makes sense. Speaking of time span, we have to go to break right now. But when we get back, we'll talk with Chris and Sean a little bit more about the film. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. Visit them online, kylesgunshop.com. Right now, we are talking with Mr. Chris Costa and Mr. Sean Nelson. You may have seen their most recent video collaboration, Easy Day, online. I'm sure Chris requires no introductions, the beard himself. Let's get them back on the phone right now. We've got Chris on the line. Chris, how's it going?
Good. How you doing, John?
Not too bad. There's always that pause when I get someone back on the line, and I'm just kind of waiting, like, did I hang up on them? Let's get Sean on. Sean, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Excellent. So you were just saying, as far as, Sean, your concern about trying to keep the video short and still get the point across. I mean, when you were doing that, was that something you were just worrying about during storyboarding, or was that something just during the editing you're like, okay, we need to cut as much as we can and just keep it solid the entire time?
Neither. Actually, that goes back to kind of the development of the very idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have to design a concept that by its very nature works in 3 minutes. You can't just, let's shoot a 5 or 10 minute concept and then try to figure out in editing how to get it down. It's just kind of a recipe for disaster. So when Chris and I wrote the treatment, I actually went out and to Chris's place, and we kind of talked about all the different things. You know, we could go this way or that way, and actually came up with a bunch of ideas that could form a full-on web series or a feature or a number of things. And then I kind of narrowed it down and said, hey, well, what if we did this? And Chris was like, yeah, let's go with that. And I actually did the full-on scripting process and wrote a 3-4-page script on it. And that was kind of the challenge, is figuring out just how to have that make sense. And after the treatment and the script, then we went into storyboards and all that.
Okay. So, and I just recently got to work on my first video project, and it was curious just because we shot the entire day, and I'm told that the finished product is maybe going to be a minute or two. How many actual man hours did you guys spend shooting? Was that like a one-day shoot, or how'd that work?
The main shoot itself was only a one-day shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that definitely was extremely tough and challenging, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of lessons learned off what we did. That was all shot from morning till I think 11 at night or something when we got done. You know, setting people up, putting it is amazing the level of safety precautions. You know, I'm used to the firearms community where I throw everybody up on a line. We all have live weapons. It's a different animal, you know,
right.
An animal that I'm very, very accustomed to. However, having somebody who has to stand watch on every firearm that's there, they have to load magazines. They have to hand each character the weapons. Everything has to be done in such a different manner than I'm accustomed to, but in a manner to make sure that nobody accidentally gets shot. One of the hardest things is when they're telling me, don't aim at somebody.
Right.
I'm like, what do you mean don't aim at somebody? Well, because you could hurt them.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm 10 yards away from this guy. He's got a gun. It's like my natural tendency is to point my dot or my irons on somebody and pull the trigger. It's not to aim to the left of them.
Right.
So just little things like that are extremely challenging. And just getting guys set up, I think some of the people took almost 2 hours to get set up, hour and a half somewhere in there. So there's a lot of moving parts in this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I know I was surprised, and I'm not nearly as accustomed to that sort of environment. I know you've worked on quite a few of them. I was just curious as far as how long that took and what some of the differences were. So you already kind of covered this, but I really would like to delve into it just a little bit. As far as the people that, and for whatever reason, you seem to draw it more than your fair share of negative attention, Chris. But the people that don't like the video or have a problem with the video, do you just think they weren't going to, period, no matter what you did? Or do they just mainly don't understand that it's entertainment, not, you know, another Magpul dynamic video or something like that?
Yeah, our whole goal was not to compete with the Magpul series. This is not a training DVD. We're not training the way we did back in 2007. So there's obviously a lot of years have passed of what we're doing and why we're doing what it is specifically in the firearms industry. I think, I think for a good chunk of the people who may not call it fancy me, it's almost probably because other people blow maybe me a little bit more out of proportion than needs to be, you know, and that's a really hard, hard way to kind of break it down. I mean, I feel like there's just some people that are going to want to find fault in every little aspect of something that we're doing.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, then let me see you do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I know I have enough of an understanding now of the nightmare of running a small company. Never did before, but anybody who now tells me, like, hey, I have my own small company, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Lot different appreciation and level of respect of what that person's doing, right? I think that when it comes down to some of it, it's we've never, and I've never come out, in people that have come to my classes understand my sense of humor.
Right.
I'm only serious when we're shooting. That's it. Aside from that, I'm a pretty big jovial person to break the ice because everybody runs around this industry. As weird as it sounds, like Johnny Tactical, you very rarely see me wearing multicam. Very rarely. It's only like little glimpses of, you know, spice here and there.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you see me wearing body armor, right?
Right.
You know, so I try to just be the average guy going out there, putting out information. And I think sometimes what the disdain is with people is the fact that people are like, well, what makes these guys so special? So in a sense, well, forget this guy, you know, so you're going to be Johnny Negative on it. And, you know, some people, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to not. It's really challenging because you're talking about your fan base, which you appreciate, absolutely. But sometimes some of those guys go a little overboard, which creates a negative animosity amongst people that might have been on the fence. But then again, there are going to be just some people that I'm not their cup of tea, and that's just the way it is. And usually they're people that have never met me.
Right.
Because if you've met me, then you would realize – There's a whole situation going on here. There's a lot more of what's happening, which is why I generally will bring in a little bit bigger audience, because I am a very humble person. I do like to have fun. I am a big jokester. You know what I mean? You don't win class clown in high school for being, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doc.
Wait.
You know what I'm saying? It's complicated, I guess. I don't get it, but...
Well, I mean, I've talked to you a couple times off air, and, you know, I've met you before and all that, and I've actually... I thought I didn't take myself seriously, and you actually got me beat on that, definitely. So it's just weird to see, and I don't know if it's like a measure of... Like, once you reach a certain level of success, you're just going to attract enough people that hate whatever you do for whatever reason, but... I don't know. Anyway, we could have an entire show about why people
sure.
are stupid sometimes. But
well, and I wouldn't want people to bring that negativity from me and carry it to all the men and women that were a part of what Sean put together. That video has a tremendous amount of moving parts, both the day of and behind the scenes.
Right.
That made that video look exactly what it is. I am actually a small piece of a bigger portion of that vehicle, almost unnoticeable, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want that negativity to take away from all the things that Sean and his guys and his crew did, because they crammed 3 minutes. They still get a story. They still made it entertaining, and people are still watching it.
Right, exactly.
And that's extremely challenging to do. It's easy to say, Sean, I'm going to give you an hour. That would have been easy.
Right.
A lot easier than me saying, you got to tell a story and show a lot of action in 3 minutes and have it kind of go up and down and up and down. And that's what he did. He did that. That's him and his crew, which has nothing to do with me. So at least don't dishonor the other people that worked really hard on a project just because you don't like me. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, and like I said, man, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Most of the dudes I've talked to have been pretty impressed with it for what it is. We got about 40 seconds left. I guess I will kind of tease this. So, Sean, was it your idea for the pelvic girdle shot, or who came up with that?
No, that was Chris.
Oh, yeah? Was that your major contribution to it, Chris? Was, hey, I want to shoot this guy in the...
junk.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is we talk about it from a tactical point of view,
right,
especially for my individual officers and civilians that are alone, especially if you're faced with multiple adversaries. Where's the one spot on the body you would not want to get shot in? You know, most people are like, well, you know, I mean, if I had to get shot and I couldn't choose, and somebody said tonight you're going to be in a gunfight, you're going to get shot, people point to their arms and the side of their leg. Nobody ever points to the pelvic girdle.
Right.
And we know that through statistics, people have been able to advance on law enforcement. They've been able to do a tremendous amount of damage to law enforcement officers while they're behind cover and concealment. So much better to target the pelvic girdle, which is also a great location for not only killing a person's mobility, but causing them to bleed out.
Yeah.
And you ask one person who'd rather be shot in the crotch or the upper torso, and nobody points to the crotch.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever point to the crotch.
Shoot me in the chest, please.
If we have that knowledge, why don't we shoot people there?
Yes.
You know, so especially with all the armor and kit that guys are wearing nowadays, it's a very vulnerable area.
Exactly.
And primarily, it stops movement.
What?
So guys, we'll, not going to be running any races anytime soon.
No, not after that. We'll get into that in a minute. We got to go back to commercial. But when we come back, we'll talk with Chris and Sean more about Easy Day and also some of their upcoming projects. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. Right now, we are talking with Mr. Chris Costa and Sean Nelson about their new movie project that is online, Easy Day. Do a Google search, Easy Day, Chris Costa. You will be able to pull it up. So, Chris and Sean, hopefully have both of you back on the line. So, hopefully, maybe. Chris, you there?
Uh-oh.
Sean? How about now? Hey, Chris, are you there?
I got you.
Excellent.
I got you. Eric, you're fired. Eric, repeat again, you're fired.
Eric, wow. What'd you do, man?
Boom. Boom, done. Disconnected the beard. No joy. No bueno.
Oh. No, why don't you tell all the listeners that? You don't need to just whisper it in my ear. Tell all the listeners what you did. I'm going to public shame the producer. Come on, Eric.
I turned all the pots off to the mics.
Oh, it's okay. You're still awesome, man. So anyway, we've got both. Man, was that like an end of the year joke where you're gonna just like see how fired up you can get me?
You handled it well though, John. It wasn't panic.
This is like the equivalent of the last few minutes of Airplane when the one guy pulled the plug on all the lights, on all the landing lights.
Yes,
right.
It's like, wow, this is gonna be a long last segment. So anyway. What upcoming projects you guys have? I mean, Easy Day was kind of the first proof of concept of this. What are you doing next, or can you talk about that?
Well, we have a bunch of these actually mapped out, and the goal was and follow me here. I mean, I am grateful for everything that everybody does overseas. And a lot of times I do feel that our brothers in blue and sisters in blue, so to speak, kind of get overlooked. And to be honest, when somebody pulls me over for speeding, I'm usually upset and I don't really feel like seeing them. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of good that law enforcement does on a regular basis. So that's why we wanted to kind of focus the character around a law enforcement community and not, it's another special operations guy jumping out of a plane and doing a rendition and all these other things. Not to say that is bad or anything like that.
Right.
But we just wanted to be able to build upon the character. And then, of course, if he's a narcotics guy, he's probably going to find himself in a few more predicaments than maybe if we just had a civilian character. You know, it's like, why are all these people constantly going after a civilian character? So we decided to do a narcotics officer, which also explains why he doesn't dress like a normal police officer. And then it allows people to be brought in within the shooting industry. And I don't have to worry about whether somebody needs to shave their face or not, because we got to put him in a police uniform.
Right.
If the guy's clean shaven, great. If he's got a beard, it doesn't matter. He actually plays the part well. So it allows us a little bit of flexibility. So we have a few of these storyboarded out for our syndicate partners, and we'll see, you know, how their reception is. Ultimately, this is a proof of concept, and what we are hoping for is over 100,000 hits in like 5 days or less, and I think we accomplished that. And we still have to prove to all those people, whether they're our syndicate partners or whether they're other weapon manufacturers that, hey, look, this is actually a really good way to advertise.
Right.
I mean, you can pay for, and no offense again, you know, it's just modern times. People get their media off the internet, off mm-hmm. Facebook, off these type of venues. But you can pay $5,000 for a print ad, or you can start putting your money elsewhere and actually resonate a bigger signature within the industry. And really, when people have limited marketing dollars, those are the choices that a small company or a big company is going to have to make. Where do I spend my marketing dollars? Do I put it in print, or do I put it in something that I know is going to get the attention of a lot of people?
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do. I'm not going to say that by any means we accomplished that, but I think we're on the right track.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see where it goes.
So this is going to be a recurring character that you have. I got to ask, Vincent Rocco, is that like, did you hit the porn star name generator and that's what got spat out?
You can blame Sean for that, because when he did, I gave him a name. I gave him a name that I used to use as an alias all the time. And he's like, no, we got to go with something different. And I see the name and I'm like, are you serious? I was like, Vincent Rocco. I was like, this is retarded.
who is this guy?
I was like, I don't even look like a Vincent. So that's all Sean's deal there. I'll let him justify that.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, Sean.
And by retarded, what Chris really means is completely awesome.
Right. So,
no, it was, you know, it was important to come up with a character name because, you know, Chris and I talked about this isn't Chris Costa in Easy Day. It's a character.
Right.
You know, this character will do things that Chris might not do in real life, that he, you know, and it's a fiction.
Right.
I wanted to create something unique. You know, come on. I can't call Chris, you know, when I'm writing the script, I can't call him Tom or Dave or something. You know, I got to give him something. So I imagined if, you know, if we get to shoot a web series or a feature film, that he'd be called Vince or something. And I think it's unique. I like it.
I thought it was awesome. I swear to God, there's this entire thread about the film on one of the forums that I hang out at, and for whatever reason, people latched on to Vincent Rocco, and now everyone's spitting out their porn star names like that's how you'd come up with it. So, no, I was pretty. I got a laugh out of it. I gotta ask Chris. I mean, is this gonna be more the focus now? Is getting into like the entertainment side of things, or are you still gonna
training? One side of our bread and butter has always been training. That's what I love to do, and I love working with all the people that come out to the classes. This year, we've added classes right in my backyard in Wyoming, and they're more premier. We've actually condensed the size down to be a little bit smaller so we can get back into a little bit more personalized. I mean, I do try to mingle with all the students, you know, during the entire, you know, shoot that we're doing and training session. And then anytime I'm off, dinners or whether we're in Altair or different training facilities, like when Raven sets it up over in Southernton, we all try to kind of hang out and let people ask those weird questions or
yes,
whatever it is. So we've always tried to kind of be more approachable 24 while we're there. That's our job. That's what we do. That's what people are paying for.
Right.
So that has always been our bread and butter, and that's what we will always focus on. This is something fun. I mean, look at what Sean did. You know, when he did Into the Breach, I mean, it was a really good, moving video that made you appreciate what the military does on a regular basis. You're just watching film. So all that we kind of did was, well, let's do something fun for the gun industry. Let's do something that will support the weapons industry and continue to support, you know, the Second Amendment and what we do, but do it in a positive manner as well. But then also do it in a manner where it's not a tailgate session.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not doing a tailgate and talking about a product, which I've done. I've done that before. I've sat on a table. I've shown you a Surefire light or an aim point or whatever it is. And I'm just kind of over that. I don't want to do that type of marketing anymore. What I want to do is do it just like Transformers does it.
Yep.
Put it into some form of a film where you see a Mountain Dew machine turn into a robot, kick somebody's butt, fire a couple missiles, blow a Cadillac Escalade up, and you're good.
There
like you just had a bunch of marketing, but it was done in such an awesome manner you didn't even know it. And
yeah.
They didn't oversell it. You know what I mean? They didn't tell you to drink Mountain Dew because it was the best thing on the planet. It's just, you know, you're left with that thought. And that's all we're trying to do here.
Right.
So,
hey.
And I think Sean and his guys did a great job in taking a concept and actually putting it in a condensed format to
right.
be able to pull that off.
Speaking of condensed formats, we're already at the end of the show. Gentlemen, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Certainly always glad to have you on, Chris. Sean, thanks for joining us. I'll try and get you some more time next time. So, anyway, for our first episode in 2014, we're going to be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Freddie Blish, U.S. Marine Corps retired, about Red Dot Optics, their development, and their best applications. Make sure you check us out at BallisticRadio.com, like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BallisticRadio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next Sunday at 7 p.m.